This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're pleased to be joined by Doug Swinhart for the entire hour. It is Tech Talk. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program, 651-989-9226. And you can text, great way to go, 651-989-9226. So we're going to jump right into the text line. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Absolutely wonderful, Steve. With this weather the way it is, how could anyone be anything else?
Yeah, and I heard Mark's forecast a little bit ago. We'll get another taste of winter overnight and a couple of cool days, and then it'll warm right back up. But there's a little spring in the air today, and that's certainly a good thing. And we want to throw those numbers out again if you want to talk to Doug. 651-989-9226. That number again for a call or text, 651-989-9226. If you're having problems with the computer, maybe looking at new equipment, by all means give us a call. And from our text line, tried the free version of Zoog that you discussed, but could not get a connection. Number one, reminder, what is Zoog?
That is actually a VPN, and you know, consequently, I actually last week was having trouble with mine as well. Now, I've got a second one, and it's OVPN.com, and that's actually OpenVPN.com, and that's different than the one we have in our country. I think it's actually coming out of the UK. That's rock solid stable. They are not created equal, trust me. The big names, of course, are ExpressPlan and Nord, and what we're seeing advertised, and of course CyberGhost is supposed to be one of the best too, but this is an emerging technology, and I can't begin to tell you, Stevie, every day there's more people jumping on this. It's an interesting concept, but I actually got a support ticket into Zoog myself, and that's Zoog.com, and the first week it was perfect. I think they're adding servers. From my understanding, they want to make all servers so they can get into Prime Video and Netflix. And part of the problem is getting set up so you can get entrance to all of them. Sometimes these VPNs to these big services look like a security risk. So they're working on it, but just keep an open mind and keep checking. It'll get there.
All right. There's been a lot of talk about VPNs and whether or not people need those. And you got into that in some detail. Why would someone need that? Because I feel like I use my Chromebook at home. I have CenturyLink, pretty fast internet. Why would I need a VPN?
You know, this is a large question for everybody. And first of all, it's predominantly a given that we're going to give up somewhere around 20% of our internet speed by incorporating a VPN. And I've seen at my place, I get it down to about 12%. Reasons why. Security is a huge issue. And there's no such thing as 100% security. No silver bullet anywhere. But that VPN, we actually send our packets through their server, and it can be changed with an IP address. So your local IP, your external IP address is completely hidden, completely anonymous, while you're still staying within the boundaries of what's acceptable and allows everybody to create the security that we're looking for. But VPNs really create a perfect tunnel between you and the end connection. So instead of having to flow through each and every router for each and every packet, which might take different connection times each time you're on a website, this connects directly to the VPN server, so to speak, and then that will actually open up a huge cache, and it will keep you in the same pattern when you're on that particular website. Think of it as a single tunnel instead of the wide world web. It just makes one track. The extra bandwidth has to do with, most of the time on their side, their load balancing to make sure everybody gets the same amount. And depending on traffic, that can change. But Mike can see that mine's going to probably run about 15 to 16% overhead. So if you got a slower connection, that's going to be a concern. And that's they're going to become more and more important, I think, as time goes on. I like what I've got set up because it's a whole house. I don't have to run around to each device. And that was made possible by that router. Great question. Thank you, Steve.
Tech Talk with Doug is underway on a Saturday. And if you want to talk to Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program or text 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. And from our text line, it's been very popular as of late. And this is a big one. And, Doug, I think I know where you're going to go with this, but how do I transfer photos from an iPad to a thumb drive? How would you go about that? Because I don't think, you know, an iPad has a USB port.
Yeah, I find that the simplest way is everybody that buys an Apple device gets an iCloud account, and you've got storage in the cloud from Apple automatic. And in fact, that iPad and your phone, if you're set up properly, you got multiple devices, you have the same account for all your devices. And as you're taking those pictures, you can set that device up to send that picture directly up to the cloud and saved on your local device as well. So you want to put it to a thumb drive. Regardless whether you've got a PC or a Mac or a Linux machine, you take that thumb drive, you stick it right straight into your USB port, open any browser. Go to iCloud.com, enter in your credentials, and download and save any place that you want. Apple has really made this thing, I think, just absolutely near goof-proof perfect. It's just that people got to get all the way through and have a complete understanding of their credentials. Apple account, iCloud account, and if you've initiated dual authentication, that should be something that people should take some extra time and learn. It's a great system. But that's the way I would advise it. That's really the simplest.
All right, Doug, very good. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll go to the phone lines. Lee in Brooklyn Park, hang on. Phil in Minneapolis, hang on. We'll get to you momentarily. And then we have a lot more on the text line. We're underway on a lovely Saturday in February. It is Tech Talk with Doug here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Steve Thompson in. Shaletta Brundage has already done a full show and is good enough to produce this program. And we have, of course, Tech Talk underway with Doug Swinhart. We promised we'd go right to the phones. Let's go to Lee in Brooklyn Park on line one. Lee, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. So my question is, I've got an older Dell, a little slow, and I want to put one of them SSD drives in it, like I did my MacBook, and it was pretty simple in the MacBook, but I can't find directions or at least one set of directions to do it to my Dell.
If you're looking for the simplest method, I would probably recommend that you get a Samsung 2.5-inch drive. That you can go to the Samsung website and download the data migration tool, and that I think the directions are probably about a half a page. And then you'll need some other small device in the meantime so you can mirror your drive. If you want a mirror, it's really simple. You'd be done in probably 2 hours. And it would just mirror your data and guide you right through this thing, bang, bang, bang. That's the simplest method to go into an SSD drive in a PC if you want a mirror. Now, if you want to reinstall your system, I think that actually PCs are simpler than Mac or an Apple. Well, of course, that depends on the age of your Mac as well. But this is really simple. And if you have trouble with that, you give me a call and I'll walk you right through it. It's really, really much easier than what I think most people even begin to conceive. It's just a piece of cake. And thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
All right. That is a good call. And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today, so we'll be sure to get that out. Let's go to the phones again. Phil in Minneapolis on line two. Phil, you're on the air.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I had a question that it's probably pretty simple and will show my age, but
yeah, we're all getting there. What's going on, Bill?
Whether it's on a Zoom or Google Meet, I can see everybody and hear everybody, and they can see me, but my microphone is muted, and I have clicked on everything I can and tried to unmute it. Any way you can help me with that?
Depends on which version of Windows you have, but usually you can find this under your control panel in Sounds. And generally what happens with microphones, in fact, I fight with mine a little bit until we get everything all coordinated. The USB mice, the condenser mics, they have to actually almost be initialized each and every time. But once you get them initialized, you're rolling. I think you're actually looking for a setting to turn your mic on or volume. And like I say, depending on what version of Windows you have, but if you have difficulty with this, just give me a call and I'll walk you right through it. We can get a little bit more in depth of the background, what kind of computer you have. But if it's a USB plug-in mic and you see it, act like a plug and play when you first plug it in. It should just be there, and it's almost guaranteed that it's software. To make sure, however, I would plug it into another device and go into the sound settings and see if you can actually see a graph where it says where you can tell if it's accepting. Could be a bad mic, but that's highly unlikely. They're doing pretty well with mics today. And thank you for the call. Okay. Hope that helps. If not, get a hold of me next week.
Yeah, and quick commentary on the programs. I love Google Meet. It is a great program.
I agree.
And I am on a Windows 10 laptop, a Lenovo, at my full-time job during the week, and obviously we do a fair number of meetings, and we generally, at the company I work for, use Google Meet almost exclusively. And on occasion, I will have trouble with the external speakers that I have on my desk, and what's great in Windows 10 is there is a diagnostic tool where if you're in one of those programs, you can run that diagnostic, and usually it'll kind of go through and send tones and check everything out. It's worked every time if I'm having problems with that, and that certainly is a great tool because it'll kind of check everything out for you and say, did you hear that tone? And I'll say yes, and then they'll do a mic check for you, and it solved the problem every time. But I don't know about you, Doug, but I think Google Meet is a great program.
I think that is actually going to take the entire world over in meetings and communications.
Yep.
I agree. The improvements that they're making when they moved away from Hangouts, which Hangouts actually had that built in, but Meet is so much easier to use. And I can't believe the amount of bandwidth that they are actually allocating. So people with lesser speed internet, they're getting excellent connectivity and response because Google is setting up caching on their side. I think they're the only ones doing that caching thing. I agree. I think it's just absolutely, If it's not the best, it's got to be in the top two. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. It is outstanding. I really like that tool. And it's good for business or for that matter, family, when you're trying to get together with family and do a meeting or an online thing. It really, really works well and is easy for folks, and especially for folks with a Chromebook, really the only way to go. All right, we want to get another call in real quick. Let's get Ken from Woodbury on line 3 on the air. Ken, hello.
Hello, guys. It's a nice afternoon. Too bad you're not outside.
I got my windows. What's going on, Ken?
I talk about history here. I have an old PCs Limited 286. It's got a 20 megabyte.
All right.
I can donate it to somebody who wants to teach a class on history of PCs, which I think is cool. But I want to delete my personal information and keep the software that's loaded because I no longer have the installation disks. Is there a way to do that?
That is going to be kind of tricky on some of the programs. Back then, if you were running Pure DOS, those programs would be easy because you just got to copy them. If it's a Windows program, they go through that install within the Windows operating system, which resides on top of DOS. That's going to be tricky to keep those programs because you need to have the install procedure. What you might want to consider is just pull the hard drive out and find an old, and you would be looking for an IDE connection drive. I might even have one in the garage. And just stick a different hard drive in it that's applicable and let the good times roll. Probably to protect your software and your data, that might be a better consideration, or mirror the drive. So there's three things that you really could do to do part of that. But the 286 framework, it may not work real well on a lot of computers, even though that's a 16-bit format, and the 32, and of course the 64. But a lot of the programs on our 64-bit machines, most of them in fact, are running 32-bit. So it's pretty common for that to cross over into the different areas. The other thing you could do is on your big computer, your daily use computer, install Linux, install VirtualBox, and just do a mirror of your 286 system, and it would run exactly like your 286, like your 286 computer within VirtualBox. That is about as slick as it gets. You can run VirtualBox in Windows too. It will run much better in Linux. And if you have questions about that, feel free to give me a call. This is right in my wheelhouse. I like these old computers. I remember them well. And thank you for the call, and have a good weekend.
All right, quick break. We've got the weather coming up in a moment. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. And the phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. And that is good, once again, for a call or a text. We'll come back, more calls and more texts, and we're really loaded up on the text line today. So we'll dive into that and try and plow through them in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk underway on this Saturday here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart is joining us, and our number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. And that's good for a call or a text here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It looks like we'll have time to jump back to the text line, and we've got a lot of those lined up. This is kind of a follow-up, Doug, from a week ago. What's the name of that software cleaner mentioned the last couple of weeks on the program?
Oh, sure. That's the one that we're replacing CCleaner with, and it's called Provisor. Privazer. And you can just go right to provisor.com. Privaz, as in zebra, er.com. Great program. Take your time. Get to know it a little bit. It's open source at this point. I believe that it's about to go commercial, which is always great because that you get this last final downloads, you may as well have the pay for package. But he does ask for donations. You are under no obligation. Try it first, and I'm quite certain you'll like it as much as I do. Previsor.com, P-R-I-V-A-Z-E-R. And great text. I'm glad somebody asked us about that, Steve.
All right, Doug, from the text line, I heard early on that 5G was going to greatly enhance our internet in homes. Tell us more about 5G as it continues to spread nationwide and what that could mean for internet in the home potentially.
Speed-wise, it's going to be really, really good. I think that there's a lot of hype, and the rumor mill is just a churning. The 5G is unable to accept the obstacles that 4G does. I think that if you're in the right position and the equipment and everything's right, it's going to work. I'm not so certain that people are going to be getting their value if they're running out buying new phones and signing up for more expensive plans. It's a bit early in my mind. Now, that could change tomorrow or next week, but a lot of people that have it, they're back running 4G almost continuous, and it's rare that their 5G connects. So it's a little bit premature. So to test, whenever we test, and at least for me, I'm kind of old school. First is stability. Then we push and see what we can get for speed. I'm not certain 5G is even quite there yet. And I hate to say it, but I'm not the type of consumer that wants to pay big dollars to be a beta tester. But that's just me. And I wish I was more helpful. That's kind of where I'm at mentally.
Yeah, and one of the other technologies I want to bring up and follow along, and this isn't so much for people that live in the metropolitan area and they have options like Xfinity or CenturyLink or other providers for their internet service, but Elon Musk continues to launch satellites, Starlink, and that is in kind of beta test mode. They're signing up people. Particularly in rural areas in the northern parts of the country and in Canada, this could be a game changer for people that traditionally haven't been able to get internet because they live out in the country or live in a small town that may not have good broadband service.
Yeah, you know, I got a notice right after the show last week that was from Starlink, and that's the low-level satellite wireless internet that you're speaking about.
Right.
And it would be $99. You can sign up for this now. It supposedly will be rolling across the metro area and throughout greater Minnesota within the next 6 to 9 months. And you would pay $100, $99, download an app, and they give you directions to walk outside and hold your phone somewhere below your knees, because they want it planted right on the ground, to find your optimum spot for your angle. They'll train it up and let the good times roll, and you'll do the same thing when you get your satellite pointed in. Once it's ready to roll out, they will request that you sign up and pay their $500 for equipment. That's your satellite, router, modem, the whole nine yards. I'm not sure if you're going to have a wire running from the satellite into your house. Sounds to me like they're going to have the whole thing wireless. I'm not sure yet. But here again, they're telling you that it's beta. I do believe that even for the initial sign-up people, you're going to get some benefit from this down the road. They're kind of hinting at maybe once everything gets rolling, they'll reimburse for half your equipment. Or he's concerned about when they roll it out entirely that because of their mass production, they'll get their equipment cheaper, and he doesn't want the beta testers to feel that they were punished for being the first on the block to jump on. I don't know if there's going to be much beta testing. I think that you're going to hook it up and it's going to run. My understanding is it will run 50 to 150 megabits per second. And people say, well, yeah, but I get 300 megs with Comcast. No, that's true. But there's supposedly going to be much less latency. And that's going to be kind of a same kind of controversial speed test that Xfinity Comcast has with CenturyLink DSL as well. This is interesting. I've got some customers in Montevideo that signed right up for it, and all they can get is connection through a telephone company coming out of Wisconsin. So it's for people who have really hard time getting a connection, this might just be the answer. If nothing else, it's going to spurn competition. And God knows we need that in this industry. That's a great comment, Steve. I'm glad you brought up Starlink.
Yeah, and right now, as you pointed out, many places will be able to get it later in the year. There is a hardware cost. It looks like it's $499. The yep. service is $99 a month, and there's some shipping and handling along there. But they're deploying satellites all the time, and the goal is for this thing to be wildly reliable and readily available over much of North America. So once again, though, there is hardware associated. It would be like getting satellite TV, but the claims are that this could be a game changer, particularly in rural or hard to serve areas. And the federal government has even gotten involved, providing some money to continue to see this service grow, because it has been hard to get good, reliable broadband to certain parts of the country. So we want to move on, go to the text line. Doug, I have a PC limited 286 20 meg hard drive purchased in 1987. I want to donate to a school for a class on history of PCs. Okay. How do you delete all the personal information yet still retain the software, because they no longer have the floppy disk? So it apparently they have someone that's very interested in the computer to show kids how PCs got started.
I think there's a lot of schools doing this. I've actually got several calls. If they want to save that data, I would just pull the drive. That's your best bet.
Yeah, but it sounds but it sounds like they want to keep the operating system intact
On the computer.
Yeah.
Then their next approach would be to get a new drive and just mirror it. And there's all kinds of duplication software. Some of it is downloadable for free. A little more difficult. And probably one of the best is EASEUS. And I know that that's weird, but that's the name of the company. And I believe they've got a downloadable disk duplicator for like $20, worth its weight in gold, because it'll walk you right through what to do. Or get a Samsung drive so you have access to the data migration. I should also mention, too, that if they buy a solid-state drive, a 2.5-inch with an adapter, they can put that in any computer after it's mirrored. And they just check to make sure that the SSD drive is a 2.5-inch internal, and that the company you're buying it for will supply some semblance of disk duplicating software. Many of them do that today. It's got log on, pop in your serial number, you download it on your existing computer, you fire it up, and you go. Now, this older computer, you may actually have to use the duplication software on another machine. You'd have to take that drive out, get it duplicated, which isn't going to touch the operating system, and then put it back in the machine when you're done. But I really think that this individual who is willing to donate this, I think that's a tremendous, tremendous goal. I like that kind of thing. And I believe that anybody that's teaching computers, if you've got enough time to supply students with some basics, DOS, you're going to get into file extension names and how to create a batch file, which today is called a script, basically. Those basics will help young students have a much broader understanding of what's going on with their computers today. And the evolution of computers has happened, as we all know, at light speed, and continues to do so. I think this is a real noble cause that this individual is doing, and hats off to them. I hope that helps, and if I can help, give me a call. I'd be more than willing to donate some time for something so noble, and thank you.
Yeah, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We have more from the text line coming up. We're going to get into something very important. We're going to get Doug's opinion on the best antivirus right now, and what he recommends right now. We'll get into that. And a battery replacement for an old Mac. We'll get into that coming up. Batteries don't last forever in laptops and Chromebooks. And we'll delve into that topic in a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 7 minutes now in front of 3 on this lovely Saturday. Snow on the way at 2 to 4 for the cities. A winter weather advisory from 9 tonight until 9 tomorrow morning. Heavier snow to the south. It'll get chilly. Temps falling through the day on Sunday. And then a cold day on Monday before it warms up. We'll see highs in the 40s the remainder of the week. So whatever snow we get won't be around long. All right, Doug, let's jump to the phone or the text line to close out the program. Just a few minutes left. Real quick, right now, antivirus, what do you recommend?
I'm still kind of stuck on Avira. It comes out of Germany, A-V-I-R-A. But I always got to mention Malwarebytes. They're great people to do business with. I think they're going to have their issues worked out in the next few days. And the only reason, and it could have been a fluke, I have to say that, Steve. They got me spoiled. If I called in for service, never did I wait more than 2 hours to get a call back. Happened once. But when I recommend to folks on the radio, I need to be consistent. Oh, by the way, you're not going to be able to call Avira at all. That's all email. Being on the other side of the ocean and different time frames. But I don't know how much issues you're going to have with Avira. You plug it in and you rock and roll. That, by the way, is one of the few that you can have for free forever. Avira and Komodo, I think, still gives you a free antivirus for 10 as well. But it doesn't have the real-time value, and I hope that helps.
All right, very good. Final topic on the program today. You got a laptop. It needs a battery. Is that doable? And I'm comboing a number of texts that we have on that topic. Is it doable? Is it a do-it-yourself project to swap out a battery?
Generally, I would say it is a do-it-yourself project if you're just comfortable. And if you have an external battery, then it is for sure. I would recommend Amazon.com or eBay. eBay will link you up to several warehouses in the New York area. They do a fantastic job. And just make sure that you get the right one. And you could actually get one that will run longer. But the longer they run, the heavier they are. So there's that little combination there, too. And batteries are utmost important. But I have yet to have somebody that wanted a new battery. I couldn't find one. Now, on a MacBook Pro, one must be very careful in putting those screws back in that little aluminum case, or they'll pop right through the back, and we don't want to do that. And MacBook Pros, especially the 2010s, 11, and 12s, this is an era where you really want to keep an eye on that battery. As thin as they are, that battery can expand. They call it explode. It doesn't actually blow up, but it expands. And I've seen batteries expand to the point to where they will actually push the touchpad up and crack the display.
Wow.
So that's the only computer I've ever seen do that. Rare instance, but it can happen. Good thing to take a look at that in your Mac as well. And I hope that helps.
All right, Doug, we've got to run. We are flat out of time. The hour goes so quickly. We'll keep folks up to date. We've got twin spring training games starting tomorrow, and they will continue in the Grapefruit League, and you'll hear a number of them on News Talk 830 WCCO. But when the Twins aren't playing, we'll have Doug in for Tech Talk on Saturdays. Doug, your phone number and email, please.
Thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, WCCOtech.com. And our website's almost ready to launch. We should have that by the end of the week. WCCOtech.com, 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve. Have a good week.
All right. Very good, Doug. There he is, Doug Swin, the heart.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
gone.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.